Let's begin now with our prayer time. Would you pray with me, please? Oh Lord, best of all, you are with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we ask you to bring your peace into our violence and that our hungry hearts be filled by you. Open our hearts and minds to see you, God with us. Emmanuel, this season especially, open our hearts and minds to those in need, to those who are hungry, cold, lonely, hurting, to those who are addicted, abused, bitter, and vengeful. We ask you to tend the sick, rest the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, shield the joyful, and use us as your instruments to bring peace and healing, we pray. In this season of joy and hope, hear now the names and needs of those we love and those things for which we are thankful. Today, Lord, we remember our leaders, soldiers, those civil servants, those people who work on holidays and weekends, policemen, firemen, doctors, nurses, all those who work that we may be safe. Lord, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. As we pray now the prayer your Son taught us to pray together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts and homes and world anew. Open our eyes that we may recognize you when you do appear. Amen. By all accounts, I am a church nerd. I wasn't born this way. I didn't grow up in the church. But I'm a creature of order and habit, so I love the cyclic seasons of the church year. I am a church nerd, and my favorite church season is Advent. I love singing, "Let all mortal flesh keep silence," and "O come, Emmanuel." I love praying in my private devotions, the collect for Advent, asking God to purify my conscience by your daily visitation, that your Son Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in me a mansion prepared for himself. I want to be a mansion, a sanctuary where God resides. I don't know if you've noticed, but every year in the church, we celebrate the same things. Beginning today, we prepare for the coming of Jesus as a baby in the manger. We will celebrate his birth, his life, his baptisms, teachings, healings, miracles. And when the earth is still hard and cold, while we are still firmly in winter's grasp, we will begin our march toward Easter with that season we call Lent, so that by the time Easter arrives, usually so has spring, with its warmth and promise of new life and rebirth and joy and hope. Every year we do this. Every year the same stories, every year the same rhythm and calendar. It's a cycle the church makes. One of the strangest features about Advent is that it asks us to wait for something that has already happened. We wait for Christmas in the church, just like children wait for Christmas in our homes. But in the church, we not only remember Christ's first coming, but we also look forward to Christ's return. We recognize that the world is still not as God said it would one day be. And so during Advent, we wait for something that has already happened, but we also wait for something that is yet to be. In our daily lives, we wait a lot. We wait in line to renew our car tags, or to mail a package, or to buy our Christmas stamps. We wait in traffic. We wait on hold with the kind man from India who assures us he will help us with our computer. We wait at the doctor's office. We wait to register for classes or for a parking spot to open up at the mall on Black Friday. But we also wait for God a lot. We wait for God finally to act on those prayers we say all the time for someone's illness or pain, for someone's heartache or fear, for peace and justice in this world, in this country, in our own homes. Sometimes we wait for God so long that we get to thinking that since nothing has changed yet, that nothing ever will. Our reading today was spoken to a people who were waiting. Hear these words from Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and we will call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The truth is that when these words were spoken, they seemed almost out of place. If you read this passage in context, Isaiah's overwhelming message at this point is one of gloom and disaster. Chapter 8 talks of how Judah will stumble and be destroyed. Chapter 9 reminds Judah of the disaster that has already fallen on Israel, their neighbor to the north. So between these two horrible prophecies lies Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, this glimmer of light in a dark place in history. But isn't that the way of the prophets, the way of our Lord, the way of the church? Our coziest holiday is in the bleak midwinter, the song says. A light in the darkness, a prophet speaking hope in gloomy times, our God who brings resurrection from death. The child of which Isaiah spoke didn't come for years, and this child, whose birth we will soon celebrate, has still not come in final victory. The Christ child came, but the fullness of his kingdom is not yet here. And so we wait. Every year we wait. Every day we wait. What does it mean to wait? How long? How do we wait? I learned something about waiting one Advent several years ago, 16 years ago, in fact, when we were expecting our firstborn, Robert. Now, he will tell you that I am not good at waiting. I am easily bored. I am extremely impatient. I yawn over repetition. And inefficiencies make my blood boil. So waiting makes me tense, restless, uneasy. It elevates my blood pressure. Sometimes it even elevates my voice. But when you're pregnant, what are you going to do but wait? One thing I learned that year is that waiting isn't always passive. Waiting can be a nurturing time. The waiting of pregnancy is active and busy. It's a season of preparation, just as Advent is intended to be. There's so much to do to prepare for a baby. There are books to read and classes to attend and vitamins to take and doctor visits to make and scales to stand on and nurseries to prepare. And babies need so many things. They need onesies and diapers and sleepers and diapers and blankets and diapers. They even need little bitty shoes, even though they don't walk. So many things to do and prepare while waiting for a baby to come. And as it happened, our first child was born December 23rd. So we were preparing for our advent of our first child the same time the church that year and every year was preparing for the advent of Jesus. That year, I heard our hymns like, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," with new meaning and longing. I read those passages about a kingdom that was to come but that wasn't yet fully here. I heard them all that year, understanding as never before the expectancy of eager waiting, of watching and looking and yearning for a promised future. That year, it really did seem that life was swollen with possibility. And that's what the church wants to help us recapture through Advent. To help us learn to watch the horizon with yearning like a pregnant woman who eagerly awaits the time she will gather her hopes in her arms with joy. Like a father installing a car seat, preparing to bring his family home. And that's why we do this every year. The same stories, the same prophecies, the same cycle to our worship. With the hope that as we tell and retell these fabulous stories of our salvation, that we will learn to recognize it when God breaks into our world today. The story of salvation history is that God is breaking into our world, creating, liberating, healing, saving, resurrecting. And as we practice seeing and practice hearing with expectancy, we learn to recognize the signs of God's kingdom when they do appear. We can even help them happen, help birth them in our lives and the lives of others when we know what they look like. We have to learn to recognize God with us. But we can learn. And we can celebrate those times when something that resembles the kingdom of God breaks in. Like when white South Africans, for example, finally begin to recognize black South Africans as their brothers and sisters. When in Northern Ireland, Sinn Féin and the Democratic Unionist Party agree to share power. When an Amish community forgives the killer of their children and helps his family rather than seek revenge. When you, in your own life, forgive someone who has hurt you or help someone in need. These are all end time moments. God breaking into our world now. And people who are trained to understand this lean forward to embrace these moments, eager for that consummation when we will all live in God's perfect love. That's what we do every Advent. We wait to celebrate again what has already happened. And we lean forward, looking ahead to what God promises yet will be, to the time when God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. To that time when there will be no more darkness or night, for we will all live in the light of God's love. But until then we wait. Looking forward to and celebrating those flashes of light that were promised and foretold long ago. Those times when a light shines in the darkness and we see it. We actually see it. I read about a dog named Luther, who I think waits like a Christian. Luther is a beautiful golden retriever. He weighs over 100 pounds and he takes his owner for a walk in the park every day. Retrievers are hunting dogs, and Luther hunts moles and chipmunks and squirrels with exceeding great joy. But one day, walking in a park near this stand of trees, a wonderful, rare, and unexpected thing happened. A squirrel fell out of a tree right in front of Luther. All he had to do was pounce. He didn't have to find it. He didn't have to chase it. He didn't have to catch it. It just fell out right in front of him. It fell in his lap, if dogs have laps. Ever since that day, Luther has believed that squirrels fall out of trees. The next morning, and for many mornings after, Luther approached those trees with his eyes lifted. He was quivering with anticipation. Luther would stop every few feet to look with eager expectation, waiting for another squirrel to fall down right in front of him. What would we do if we walked through life with that kind of expectation, waiting for God to show up in the midst of our regular everyday lives, waiting for God to do something really wild, like show up as a baby, or a neighbor, or a stranger, a child, a friend? What if we expected gifts of grace and healing to fall into our lives so close we could just reach out and touch them? What would be different if we lived that way? Luther hasn't given up chasing squirrels. But from time to time, Luther still pauses to gaze longingly at the branches overhead. Who knows? It could happen again. And when it does, Luther will be ready, because he knows that sometimes squirrels do fall out of trees, and that sometimes totally undeserved gifts fall right down into our laps. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Look for him. Keep looking. He's coming. Amen. Would you all come? This week we light the first candle of our Advent wreath, the candle of hope. For the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has dawned. Would you please stand? Our friend Beth no longer hurts. And though we do and her family does, the day will come when no one will ever hurt again. For that we wait. And for that we celebrate. Go in God's love, go in God's peace, and go and share God's life, His love and His light to those in need. In the name of the God we love, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.